Good evening. You're tuned to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. Since the opening of the Williams Center for the Arts in 83, the Lafayette College Performance Series has been nationally recognized for exceptional programming annually, featuring esteemed artists and innovative new works. Artistic and Executive Director of the Williams Center for the Arts on the Lafayette College campus is Hollis Hashby. I spoke with her recently about the upcoming program for this fall and also for next spring. And the programs start this Friday night with the return of Cecile McLaurin-Salvant to open the 2017-2018 season. The opening jazz concert every fall is presented to help the Boys and Girls Clubs of Easton, and this is the 30th annual celebration of that work. This year is also the debut season for the National Theater live programs that will be presented in Landis Cinema at Buck Hall, their new program building. And I started with Hollis Hashby and speaking about that new set of programs that will be down there in Buck Hall.
So last year, the Lafayette College opened its new arts buildings at Buck Hall, which is at the corner of North 3rd and Snyder Streets in Easton. And the public is just becoming aware of the programming in that space, which is growing by leaps and bounds. This Buck Hall includes two new spaces. One is a 200-seat Black Box Theater, that's the Weiss Theater, and the other is the Landis Cinema, which is just under 200 seats. And it is, I think, as you say, Ken, it is a really beautiful screening room. There's not a bad seat in the house. And of course, it has all the state-of-the-art projection and sound equipment in it. So the Williams Center for the Arts Performance Series is going to take advantage of both those spaces, of the Black Box Theater and the Landis Cinema, next year. In the Weiss Theater, we'll be presenting the Bedlam Theater of New York in two of their productions, the Shaw's St. Joan and Hamlet, and they will be performed in repertory in February of 2019 in the Black Box Theater. The really brilliant thing about this company is the incredible talent of their actors, because five actors portray all the roles in each of those plays. And when you consider that between St. Joan and Hamlet, there are about 50 roles, that is a really substantial number of characters that they are essaying over a two-night, three-night period. So that will be in February 2018, this coming February, and those two plays will be performed in repertory. Now, in Landis Cinema, we'll be doing a number of things in there, actually, but notably, we'll be taking on the National Theater live broadcasts, and these are live performances from the National Theater of London and other notable theaters in London and in the region, like the Old Vic, the Barbican, the Donmar Warehouse, and other West End theaters. And we will be presenting once a month at one of those productions. So these would include Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart in No Man's Land, Jude Law in Obsession, Daniel Radcliffe in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, and so on. It begins on Sunday, September 10th with No Man's Land, a production that I am really looking forward to because it got such wonderful reviews both in London and New York with these two actors. So these are live performances captured for broadcast. And the really great thing about these broadcasts is that they have several cameras positioned in the theater when they're recording them. So you you really feel like you're in that theater and seeing the show from many different angles. It's a cinematic experience of live theater, is the best way to put it. So because these are actually presented by the Williams Center for the Arts, all of the tickets for events at Buck Hall are available through our ticket office on the Lafayette College campus, and that number is 610-330-5009.
Well, you had that great one person talk about Pinter two falls ago, which was really the beginnings of bringing theater or your ideas about what to bring to the valley or what to bring to the theater or to bring to the campus. And yeah, the idea of maybe you can't see these plays in the big theaters, but to see these wonderful productions in that brilliant screening room, which I must say, once again, it's absolutely the perfect screening room. It's structured in a way that's beautiful to see anything in it, and just a wonderful application to see such wonderful things on close to town.
While we're on the topic of the Landis Cinema, I do want to mention the other film that we will be presenting there, not in a series, but as part of our Tapestries initiative. So our Tapestries initiative, over the next three semesters through the fall of 2018, we will be looking at contemporary Muslim cultures and the artists and communities in the United States that represent Muslim societies. And one of the things in the fall that we'll be doing is a presentation of the Satchel Jazz Ensemble. This wonderful group became to international attention because of a performance of Paul Desmond's Take Five that they did on traditional Pakistani instruments. And because of that one video clip that they put on YouTube, they caught the attention of Wynton Marsalis, who then invited them to perform with his orchestra at Lincoln Center. And that trip for them represented an immense blossoming of their talents and their abilities. So a documentary was made about them, and that will be shown on November 1st at the Landis Cinema. And then on November 2nd, the Satchel Jazz Ensemble will do their performance live at the Williams Center. And their performance will include traditional jazz standards performed on Pakistani instruments and also traditional Pakistani music as well. So on the night of the film, Wednesday, November 1st, the musicians will be in attendance, and afterwards they will have a discussion with the audience. The title of the film is Song of Lahore, and it's about their wonderful journey from Pakistan to New York. So I hope that that's another opportunity to see a great film in a great space.
Just looking at the programs, a lot of the things that you're bringing in this year seem like second channel or second chapters of what you've already been building towards and adding to this, and seem to be even more the idea of combining other cultures with another one and bringing a double mix to people that brings in a new flavor, a new idea of approaching a lot of these wonderful things that you're bringing this fall.
Well, that's a good point, Ken, because the way we present the arts and the way the arts are being created these days don't necessarily fit in the traditional conscripts of what we have thought about music and dance and theater. So, for instance, the Satchel Jazz Ensemble is a jazz ensemble, and jazz music has the same ideas as world music. So that's why the Satchel Jazz Ensemble appears on both our jazz series and on our world stage series. And this is really true of a lot of things that are happening in the arts these days. So, for instance, In our chamber music series, we're presenting the American premiere of a new work by So Percussion, which is an incredible percussion ensemble. It's one of the top new music ensembles performing today. They're based here in Brooklyn, but last year they traveled to the North England town of Seaham, and through a grant through the British Arts Council, they worked with the citizens of this town to create a work about that really helps the town talk about its life and its transition from a coal mining town to one that had lost its industry, and how they feel about that now and how they've redefined their life. So the work is a chamber music piece, but it's also a film and a narrative and visual art. It's a very multi-dimensional work. It exists in our chamber music series because So Percussion is known as a chamber music ensemble, but it could easily fit in our world stage series and our theater series, and even to some extent in our dance series. So it is. So when we're thinking about stage work these days, we're really breaking the boundaries in all directions.
I would say very much so. Yeah, the So Percussion Group is known very much for blurring those boundaries between various materials, and they're very much a modern group, but they're very much, you know, choosing from old materials and bringing them into the present, and they're very much known for such a thing, and I've seen that rather well in a number of things. In addition to that, a number of the jazz programs are pretty much, I mean, deep stuff, besides the wonderful ones that you do that are very, you know, sparkling and very light, and there's, you know, yeah, Fred Hirsch. I'm very excited about that. He's very much known for blurring those boundaries once again. He does very modern stuff and very, you know, bringing, once again, as you have this thing of bringing, important, you know, elder statesmen from the wonderful word, Charles Lloyd is just another one that has been, I don't know if he's ever played around here before, but that's another one that I'm very excited about, you know, checking out.
Tune to WDIY. I'm speaking with Hollis Ashby, the director, arts director, executive director of programs at the Williams Center for the Arts, and their new program is just about to begin. In fact, the first concert is this Friday evening when Cecile McLaurin-Salvan returns to the Williams Center for the Arts, and this first concert in the fall is presented as part of the 30th annual celebration for the Boys and Girls Club of Easton. We'll be back to that conversation with Hollis Ashby in just a moment. For program support on WDIY, we thank the Baum School of Art, 510 Linden Street, Allentown, enriching lives through arts education for the past 90 years. Classes in art, design, and fashion for children, teens, and adults. For more information, baumschool.org or 610-433-0032.
I think that this year our jazz series really represents the best of the best in that we have, you know, someone who's at the very start of her career, Cecile McLaurin-Salvan. This is her return visit. Her first visit was 2 years ago. But she is a very young woman, still under 30, who has no boundaries of ideas of what she will be able to do in jazz. And then we have someone who's mid-career, like Fred Hirsch, who in every form, whether he's with this trio or alone or with a larger ensemble, has just a limitless imagination as well. To, as you say, an elder statesman like Charles Lloyd, who, when he started out in his career in the 60s and 70s, was really blowing everyone's mind about how to listen to sound. Not just listen to music, but to listen to sound around you.
Which also seems to be an important part of the program. in addition to bringing people to their ideas of who to come in to see, you're very much inspired by opening up their ears and saying, well, yeah, you think you know about, I mean, like Charles Lloyd or even Fred Frisch, that they've got so many different areas to go into to understand them or what they're about, that this is a great opportunity for people that perhaps maybe I know Charles Lloyd. He did that wonderful album About the Moon a million years ago. It's one of my very favorite of his early ones. But once again, bringing these to people's attention, this is stuff you need to remember, bring it into their attention, and bring out a great program for them here.
For those listeners who had a chance to hear Cecile McLaurin-Salvant 2 years ago,
she had a big biz here.
Was really a lot of her singing is really ear opening, and like Charles Lloyd, you have to check your expectations at the door, because just when you think you know where she's going, she will surprise you and take a left turn, and it'll take you into a completely different room, and you'll be very pleasantly surprised by those choices that she makes.
Now, we didn't cover for dancing just yet. Dance program is always a wonderful part of the program here, and always a good journey into the mind of things that are exciting that you're maybe not expecting them to be exactly the way they come out, but they, new programs, new ways to show that about.
The Williams Center and Lafayette College have been very fortunate in the past several years to receive a grant from the Dexter and Dorothy Baker Foundation to support our dance series. And this enables us to present really the top quality dance artists working in the United States and abroad today. So we're able at the Williams Center to bring something to the Lehigh Valley that they can't get anywhere else. And one of the things I'm really tremendously excited by, all of the dance companies we're bringing this year, beginning with Alonzo King's Lines Ballet. And here is an artist, speaking of opening your ears, who really opens his ears to what is going on in the world around him. And he chooses to work with, to collaborate with other artists who have far-reaching ideas about the world of sound. So in this particular ballet that he is doing, one of the works on the program, and the main work on the program, is a work called Biophony from 2015 that he created with Bernie Krause, who is both an ecologist and a soundscape artist who's captured the sounds of the natural world, from rainforest to tundra to mountaintop. And they've made a soundscape to capture the delicacy and the power of the natural world. And the dancers themselves, who are supremely well-trained ballet dancers, quite literally flit, fly, and flutter within this soundscape. So that I think is a dance artist who is as much about sound as he is about everything else. And then the result is an entirely new kind of theatrical experience in the world of movement. Then the next one on the dance series, really taking a complete left turn, the brilliant pianist Simone Dinnerstein set out to capture the Goldberg Variations about 10 years ago, and her recording of these works went straight to the top of the Billboard charts. This was the surprise breakout hit of the year. Nothing since Glenn Gould has startled people so much as her recordings of the Goldberg Variations. She's teamed up with choreographer Pam Tanowitz to reconceive how the Goldberg Variations can be viewed through the world of movement. So Simona will be performing this score live with the dancers on stage. This is another case, Ken, exactly where the experience is both a chamber music piece and a dance piece. So this is not so easily categorized. And in fact, it appears on both our chamber music series and on our dance series next year.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Once again, breaking old ideas and moving them into the modern. The idea of the dance being, you know, you think of dance, well, it's, you know, wonderful. It's dance, whether it's modern dance or you know, a famous program. But here are three different versions of dance in a new way, such as this wonderful idea of Alonzo saying that very much about the sounds, finding sounds about you. And you don't often think about that much when you're listening to or watching a dance program. You hear the music, but it's the background to the dance. But this sounds like, you know, they're very much in tune to each other. And the idea of finding new structures, new sounds, and being able to build the dance about that. And then, this fascinating idea of seeing a new version of the Goldberg variations set to dance. There's two very famous, you know, the idea of seeing, you know, wonderful program of dance, but also this amazing piece of music. And then closing it out, with the idea of doing a dance of heroines of Trojan War.
Pascal Rieu, who was a member of Martha Graham's dance company, was trained by Martha Graham, approaches stories very much like Graham did in a narrative way, but he turns the expectations on the ears. So, for instance, in the Trojan War, very often these stories are recounted through the perspective of the male heroes of the Trojan War, but women figure very prominently in the Trojan War, starting with the reason the whole war, you know, came about, Helen of Troy.
Right,
so the new production that he'll be bringing here is Women on the Edge, the Unsung Heroines of the Trojan War, where he'll look at the Trojan War through the perspectives of Iphigenia, Helen, and Cassandra. And again, someone who really thinks about how sound impacts the story that he's trying to tell, he's commissioned new music from Michael Torkey, Aaron Kernis, and Richard Daniel Poor. So all of these works are new, and they're told together in this triptych of the women of the Trojan War.
It sounds like all these programs seem to be really working off of each other's beginnings, but you have a number of wonderful groups from around the world.
Well, our World Stage series is a place where we capture a lot of different ideas that are happening around the world and at home in the United States. So it is very far-reaching this year. We start out from Senegal, Sheikh Low, who will be here as part of our Tapestries project on the arts of Muslim-majority countries. He will be bringing his band on September 27th and also will be in residency here on campus during that week. Then in October, on October 18th, Betseda Machado, who is from the coastal town in Venezuela, is bringing a very specific type of Venezuelan music. It's very much rooted in the Caribbean and Afro-Venezuelan rhythms, and it is very rarely recorded or even performed outside of this region of Venezuela. It's a very lively, upbeat kind of music. And then, as I mentioned before, the Sechel Jazz Ensemble will be here on November 2nd. Then in February, actually, Danu from Ireland will be returning, and they were such a breakout hit 2 years ago that we couldn't wait to have them back, especially with their young vocalist, Nell Nikroinen, who is a specialist in the Sean Nose style of ornamented, unaccompanied singing.
I've been speaking with Hollis Ashby, who's director of the Williams Center for the Arts, and also the executive director. And if you need more information about the upcoming 2017-2018 season at the Williams Center for the Arts, williamscenter.lafayette.edu, and the phone number for the box office is 610-330-5009.